This article is brought to you by the best-selling book See Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to manage tension after a public disagreement in a team meeting. A clear process for restoring trust when a meeting goes sideways. In short, a public disagreement leaves a residue that silence will not clear. You need to act quickly. Address the tension directly with the people involved and make a brief acknowledgement to the wider team. Do this well, and the repair can actually strengthen trust more than the argument damaged it. Definition: manage tension after a public disagreement describes the deliberate process of addressing the interpersonal friction, emotional residue, and damaged trust that remain in a team following a visible conflict with the goal of restoring productive working relationships. I have watched a disagreement in a meeting room follow people for months. Not because the argument was so terrible, but because nobody did anything about it afterwards. The two people involved stopped making eye contact. The team started choosing sides without realizing it. What began as a sharp exchange over a project decision quietly hollowed out a team that had once worked well together. The hardest part of learning to manage tension after a public disagreement is accepting that the meeting room is not where the real work happens. The real work happens in the hours and days that follow, in the conversations most people avoid because they are uncomfortable. This guide gives you a clear process for that work. Why tension after a public disagreement is particularly stubborn. A disagreement in private is hard enough to repair. One that happens in front of colleagues carries extra weight because everyone present becomes part of the story. The team watched it unfold. They have their own interpretations. Some felt uncomfortable. Some picked up on things you did not intend. Some are now quietly waiting to see how it resolves. This is what makes post-meeting tension different from ordinary conflict. You are not just managing your own emotions and the other person's. You are managing a shared experience that the whole team now holds. That requires a more deliberate approach than a quiet word in the corridor. If you have ever wondered why tension from a specific meeting seems to linger long after you thought it was resolved, it is usually because the public dimension was never properly addressed. Individual repair matters. So does what happens in front of the group. What needs to be true before you start? Two things need to be in place before you attempt any repair conversation. First, your own emotions need to have cooled enough that you can speak without defensiveness. You do not need to feel calm. You need to feel controlled. If you are still rehearsing arguments in your head, you are not ready. Give it a few hours, not days. Second, you need to be clear on what you actually want from the follow-up. If you go into the conversation wanting to be understood, you will almost certainly end up in a second argument. The goal is not to win the point you lost in the room. The goal is to repair the relationship and restore the team's ability to function. That distinction will determine everything about how you show up. If you are unsure how to begin that first private conversation, this guide on starting a difficult conversation that is blocking your team's work offers a direct approach you can adapt. The step-by-step process for managing tension after a meeting. Step 1. Reach out within 24 hours. Do not wait for the other person to come to you. The one who reaches out first demonstrates more strength, not less. Send a short, direct message. I'd like to find 10 minutes to talk privately, today if possible. No explanation, no preemptive justification. Just the request. Waiting longer than 24 hours is the most common mistake people make. The longer the silence, the more meaning people attach to it. A prompt reach out signals that you are serious about the relationship, not just the argument. Step 2. Choose the right setting for the conversation. This conversation cannot happen at your desk, in a shared space, or anywhere it might be overheard. Find a private room or, for remote teams, a one-on-one video call with cameras on. The setting communicates respect. It tells the other person that this conversation matters. Avoid doing this over email or message. Written text strips out tone, and tone is everything in a repair conversation. If you cannot get a private room, a walk outside works well. Movement can actually reduce defensiveness in difficult conversations. Step 3. Acknowledge what happened without relitigating it. Open the conversation by naming the situation directly. Do not ease into it with small talk, and do not open with a defense of your position. Try something like, I wanted to clear the air about yesterday. I think it got more heated than either of us intended, and I don't want that to sit between us. That is all you need. You are not conceding the argument. You are acknowledging the shared experience of the disagreement. The moment you start explaining your position again, the conversation turns back into the argument. Resist that pull. You are here to repair, not to win. Step 4. Take responsibility for your part. This is where most people get it wrong. They acknowledge the tension, but stop short of owning any piece of it. That half acknowledgement rarely repairs anything. You do not have to believe you were wrong about the substance of the disagreement to take responsibility for how you handled yourself in the room. Maybe your tone was sharper than it needed to be. Maybe you interrupted. Maybe you looked dismissive. Find the part that is genuinely yours and say it clearly. I came across harder than I intended, and I'm sorry for that. That kind of directness earns respect. It also usually invites the other person to reflect on their own part, which creates real ground for repair. Step 5. Listen before you explain. After you have acknowledged and owned your part, stop talking and let the other person respond. Do not fill the silence. Do not jump to your next point. Just listen. What they say next will tell you what kind of repair is needed. Some people will reciprocate quickly. Others will need more time or will want to say things that are hard to hear. Your job is to stay in the room, literally and figuratively, without becoming defensive. This is the hardest part of the whole process, and it is also the most important. For situations where the tension has already crossed into something more entrenched, the deal method for resolving conflicts that are fracturing team synergy offers a more structured framework for the conversation. Step 6. Make a brief public acknowledgement. Once you have repaired the private relationship, you need to address the team. Not a lengthy debrief. Not an apology tour. A brief, calm acknowledgement at the start of your next interaction together. Something like, I want to acknowledge that last week's meeting got heated. We've spoken privately, and we're good. I want to make sure the team knows that. 30 seconds. No drama. This matters because the team witnessed the disagreement, and silence from both of you reads as unresolved conflict. A calm, joint signal that the air has cleared lets everyone move forward. If your team is working through deeper fractures alongside this, the bridge method for rebuilding synergy after a team breakdown pairs well with this step. Step 7. Demonstrate repair through behaviour. Here's the truth of it. Words are the beginning of repair, not the end. What actually restores trust is consistent behaviour over the days that follow. Engage with the other person normally. Invite their input in meetings. Be visible in your respect for them. The team is watching. Not out of malice, but because humans read the behaviour of those around them for safety signals. When they see you and the other person working well together, the story of the disagreement begins to fade. When they see continued awkwardness, the story grows. You have more control over the narrative than you think. When the disagreement happened on a remote team. Managing post-meeting tension on a remote team requires extra deliberateness, because the informal repair mechanisms that exist in a shared office simply are not available. You cannot pass someone in the corridor. You cannot read the room after the call ends. Silence is the default, and silence is corrosive. In remote settings, reach out even faster. An hour after a tense video call is not too soon. Use a direct message to request a video call, not a written exchange. Keep cameras on for the repair conversation, and tell the other person explicitly that you want to clear the air, because context that a colleague might infer in person needs to be stated directly on a screen. For the public acknowledgement, do it at the start of the next team call, briefly and calmly. The same principle applies. Let the team see resolution, not just silence. You might also consider checking in with individuals who seemed particularly affected by the tension during the meeting. A short message asking if they're okay goes further than most people expect. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where people go wrong when the tension is still raw. These are the three failure patterns I have seen most often, and the correction for each. The mistake: waiting to be approached to avoid seeming weak. Why it happens: people conflate initiating repair with conceding the argument. What to do instead? Reach out first. Taking initiative signals strength and seriousness. It changes the dynamic immediately. The mistake: turning the follow-up conversation into a second argument. Why it happens: the need to be understood pulls harder than the need to repair. What to do instead? Write your position down before the conversation if you need to. get it out of your system, then go into the room with a single goal: repair the relationship. If the substance needs further discussion, schedule a separate conversation for it. The mistake: treating a brief public acknowledgement as full repair. Why it happens: it feels like enough to say we're good in front of the team. What to do instead? The public acknowledgement is necessary, but not sufficient. Private repair must come first, and it must be genuine. A hollow public statement lands worse than silence if the private conversation has not happened. Learning to de-escalate tension with a colleague before it becomes entrenched conflict is worth doing before the next difficult meeting. Repair after the fact is harder than prevention. A practical checklist for the 48 hours after a tense meeting. Use this as your guide immediately after a difficult meeting. Number 1. Pause. Give yourself at least 2 hours before reaching out to allow your own emotions to settle. Number 2. Send a brief, direct message requesting a private 10-minute conversation. Do not explain or justify in the message. Number 3. Prepare your opening line. Write it down if that helps. Keep it simple and focused on the relationship, not the argument. Number 4. In the conversation, acknowledge what happened. Own your part specifically, and listen before you explain. Number 5. Agree on whether anything about the original topic needs a follow-up discussion, and schedule it separately if so. Number 6. At the next group meeting or team interaction, make a brief, calm public acknowledgement that the air has cleared. Number 7. In the days that follow, engage normally. Be consistent. Let your behavior confirm that the repair was real. For broader guidance on navigating heated moments in the room itself before they reach this point, Handling Conflict During Meetings covers the in-meeting skills that reduce how often this process becomes necessary. And building a culture of constructive disagreement starts with how meetings are run in the first place. Running productive meetings that don't waste time lays a strong foundation. When the argument involved feedback, not just disagreement. Sometimes what flared up in the meeting was not a clash of opinions, but a piece of feedback that landed badly or was delivered poorly in the heat of the moment. In those cases, the repair process above still applies, but it needs to be paired with a more careful follow-up conversation about the feedback itself. Giving difficult feedback after tension has been repaired requires particular skill. The relationship needs to be stable before the feedback can be heard clearly. Delivering negative feedback positively gives you a method for that second conversation once the repair conversation has done its work. The ground you stand on afterwards. Let me tell you something I have learned the hard way across more years than I care to count. The quality of your response to public disagreement says more about you than the disagreement itself ever could. Teams forget arguments. They rarely forget how someone handled themselves in the aftermath. When you manage tension after a difficult meeting with speed, directness, and genuine ownership, you build something that a smooth meeting never could. The confidence of the people around you that when things get hard, you're someone who shows up. That reputation is worth more than being right. It compounds over time, and it starts with a 10-minute conversation you probably do not want to have. Frequently asked questions. How do you manage tension after a public disagreement at work? Manage tension after a public disagreement by addressing it quickly and privately. Acknowledge what happened, take responsibility for your part, and focus the follow-up conversation on repairing the relationship rather than relitigating the argument. Speed and sincerity both matter. How long should you wait before following up after a tense team meeting? Wait long enough for emotions to cool, but not so long that silence becomes its own message. In most cases, following up within 24 hours is right. Waiting longer than 48 hours allows assumptions to harden and makes repair significantly harder. What do you say to a colleague after a difficult public disagreement? Start by acknowledging the moment. Directly say that the exchange was difficult and that you want to clear the air. Do not rehearse a case. Focus on the relationship, not the topic. A simple, honest opening restores more trust than a perfectly worded speech. How do you rebuild team trust after a heated meeting? Rebuild trust by addressing the tension openly, but briefly in the group, then following up with key individuals one-on-one. Consistency matters most. Your behavior in the days after the disagreement will either confirm or contradict whatever you said in the room. What are the biggest mistakes people make when managing post-meeting tension? The most common mistakes are waiting too long, over-explaining or defending, and treating a brief public acknowledgement as sufficient repair. Tension that formed in front of others needs to be addressed both publicly and privately to fully resolve. How do you manage tension after a disagreement with a senior colleague? The process is the same, but the stakes feel higher. Approach the conversation with respect and directness in equal measure. Do not over-apologize or underown your part. Senior people respect those who address conflict cleanly and without theatre. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.